All right, just want to say welcome to the 2019 annual church meeting. The agenda, you maybe all have that with you. It's inside the bulletin there. We're going to do a review of the 2018 finances, recognition of the church ministries and leadership, 2018 updates and direction for the 2019 season here. The building will be open for a tour if you want to check that out later. We'll be talking about that. We'll have Q&A at the end, and then we'll close in prayer. But just to get started here, I was doing a little research, and I found something that may have been one of Pastor Tim's early sermon things here. It was called a wormy sermon. You know, sometimes our pastors like to do an object lesson, try to teach you through that. Well, I think this is one of Pastor's early object lessons that he tried. Anyway, I'm going to read it. It's Pastor Tim's decided that the... Boy, I got to get my glasses fixed. Can't see hardly anything with these. I know I got to get them adjusted. Okay, there we go. Okay. It says, Pastor Tim decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So, four worms were placed into four separate jars. The first worm was put in a jar of alcohol. The second worm was placed in a jar of cigarette smoke. The third worm was placed in a jar of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was placed in a jar of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, Pastor Tim reported the following results. He said, the first worm in the alcohol died. The second worm in the cigarette smoke died. The third worm in the chocolate syrup died. The worm in the good, clean soil lived. Then Pastor Tim asked the congregation, what can you learn from this demonstration? A little woman in the back of the church quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink and smoke and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. Pastor Tim?
I'm not sure where Hokie's at, but we started talking about drinking chocolate, but the... Well, where were you? All right, well, I just want to say thanks, first of all, for coming out. This is probably the most people that we've had at one of our annual business meetings, so I just really appreciate it. I know that you could be out raking your grass or doing something else, so I'm just glad you're here and checking out what we're looking at for the year. So, again, I'd just like to open with a word of prayer after that joke. We maybe need one, and we'll go on from there. Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness towards us. We thank you for how you've provided for us this year. Lord, we believe that the direction of the upcoming year, we just put all that in your hands. We trust that you're going to use wise people as we go through the year to give us direction and hope and give us a position and a direction to go. So we just thank you for all of that. We ask you to bless it, and we just ask you to, Father, continue to lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, typically this year, oh, by the way, there is just, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but it is Corey's birthday this morning, so let's just happy birthday to Corey. Thank you for coming out and serving. I'll hear about that the week, so, but it's worth it. We love you. Appreciate you. We're going to spend a few minutes going over the finances. We don't go through it every line by line in detail. If you really have questions about it, we can sit down and do that individually. But we just kind of go over it briefly. So just take a quick look at the financial statement there in the middle. It's a list of all of the different places that we give to, where all of our money comes in from, and where the expenses are. If you'll take a look at the second half of that page on the financial report, you'll see our receipts. Our restricted donations is exactly what that means. Money was given specifically for a purpose. Lots of times it's money that's given for Haiti. Lots of times it's money that's given for a radio ministry or something to that effect. And so this past year, our our giving, our restricted giving was $31,719.76. That is up from last year's. Last year's giving was $24,227. Our donations that are unrestricted, which would qualify as our general offering, it's the resources that we use for everything else that we do. The unrestricted giving is $176,544.76. Lots of things come out of that. If you look on the back side or the first page that we have under expenses, you'll see all of those things that we pay for out of that unrestricted donation. So other income is $496. So our total receipts this year, $208,761. That's up from last year, which was $189,795. Under disbursements, we look at the administrative costs. Again, that's up a little bit this year. That's $34,277. Church ministry and programming was at $149,000, up from $145,000. The church property, just different things again we spent money on, is $19,973. Last year was $17,000. So we're looking at total disbursements of $203,769.14. So that means we took in more than we spent this year, and that's a good feeling. Anybody else say amen or just me? And that's a good thing. But, you know, I really want to clarify that, too. Taking in almost sounds like it's just a business deal, and it's not a business deal, but there's a business side to church. There just is. You can't deny that. We have to be honest and say we don't just go out and spend all willy-nilly. Just so that you know, we, as elders, go over our every month, we go through our financials and we look at that, and as we're looking at that, we're looking to see how are we doing this month, how are things going, and you'd be amazed how God just over and over again meets those needs as he does. It's incredible to us. So our net change in assets there on that second page, down about three quarters of the way, $4,991. Our net assets at the end of that period is $34,835. You can look right below that, and you'll see the funds, the sub-funds that we have as a church. In our church general fund is $3,000. Our church building fund, $15,373. There's a little explanation there. Every month as the resources come in, if we have more income than we have expenses, we take 5% of that excess, if you will, and we put 5% of that into our building fund. It's how we've been building that building fund over the course of the last several years. So that is a way, if people don't specifically give to the building fund, that's a way that that continues to grow. Children's Church Fund, $223. Helps Ministry Fund is at $144. Higher Ground is at $2,054.82. Higher Ground is formerly known as Chapel on a Hill. That's the church that was given, literally a physical church building was given to us as a 501c3, as a tax-exempt entity. And Pastor Brian leads the church service out there. It overlooks a golf course where there are some 700, they figure there's about 700 people out there any given week. So right now, the 20 to 30 people come up there on Sunday mornings and worship as of last year, and we're continuing to pray and believe that God's going to do more up there. It's a way for us to reach out into the community. So that's the resources that have been given to Higher Ground. Our missions fund is at $11,829. Office equipment's at $1,023.24. You can see in the next column, assets. It's kind of hard to figure out exactly how to quantify these, but we're talking about donations and pledges received, and that was specifically for the capital program for our building addition over here. The donations and pledges received are $41,913. Where it says outstanding pledges, that is simply that. It's a pledge that was made that hasn't been received, mostly because the time has not come yet for it to be received. So that's not outstanding as in people haven't paid. It's that it's only March And so when April and May and June come, we anticipate those resources to come in. Our total building loan for this project was $275,000. Interest paid is 6.6%. So we paid $6,000 in interest, additional fees and costs. So we end up with a total liability over here of $285,539.46. So obviously we still are needing resources to finish paying for that. Unless somebody would like to write a check for that total amount right now. I saw Kevin reaching. We'll go with that. But you know what? Here's the deal. I'm not opposed to somebody writing a check for $50,000 or $70,000. But the reality is I think God's going to stretch us, and he's going to use us, and he's going to distribute that care for all of us so we all end up with buy-in on it. So, again, that's just a real quick overview. Any questions that I can answer while we're looking at the finances? Yes, we need more. You know what? The reality is God's met all of our needs, and we're in a good spot. So I think we're doing all right. Anybody? Going? Yes. It is not. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We're going to have expenses with this side of the building. Basically, when we look at the $285,000 loan that we took, it's all for that side of the wall, from everything over there. That's just the new stuff. Exactly. The building fund is the existing building fund. It's not not part of the capital program. So currently, when we've had to purchase some things, I'll just give you an example. When we did the initial estimate on the building, I screwed up by about $30,000 on one deal. I missed. I had to put in some numbers because I was out of time, and I missed it by $30,000. And you can laugh now. So we've had to take that $30,000 from other places because that was not included in it. So what we've done is out of our building fund, we've taken some monies to do things like tile the bathrooms in there. That was one thing that ended up not being covered. I had to take that from someplace because we didn't have the resources in the capital project, the capital campaign. The other thing is the flooring over there. Next week we're going to put in flooring. We have the money in our building fund in order to pay for that, but that's where it's had to come from. It simply was a mistake on my part, and we underbid that by about $30,000, what we were actually going to need. So as some monies have come in, we've been able to put monies there. Some people have given specifically. Some people have done some work and said, well, we're not going to charge you for it, and so we've been blessed. But that is where that comes from. We don't have any money in our funds for furniture right now. Yep, this was about $10,000 worth of chairs in here. Yeah, it did. We asked for pledges and asked people to buy a chair or two, and so we were able to split the load on that. And we didn't cover that $10,000 in there. Some of that came out of our building fund as well, but it did. We were able to raise some monies for that. So, and we'll do a few of those things. We're going to talk a little bit more about some fundraisers that we have coming up, some plans that we have. So, anything else on the budget? Tithes of tithes. It is in, what's that? First item under mission outreach. See it second column about a third of the way down, and it's not bold, it says mission outreach. Yep, tithe of tithes. Oh, where does it go? Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Our tithe of tithes has gone to Gerald Durstein as kind of the founder and the guy who helped Jim kind of get things rolling here. And so that has gone to Gerald Durstein, and he has had the ability to, he's got a Gospel Crusade Ministerial, GCMF, and he's had the ability to direct those funds where those funds go. So he has for years directed those funds up to Strawberry Lake Camp, and he is still directing those to Strawberry Lake ministerial stuff. I know he uses some of it for his missions work. He just came back from Haiti. Dude's 90 years old, and he just came back from Haiti. Hallelujah. So that's where that tithe of tithes goes. Just the concept off of that. You all tithe, you give 10%. We take 10% of the income that goes here, and we specifically give that to another ministry that is not to be used really for our benefit. We just see that as something that we need to give. Well, we believe, A, that God has given it. He requires. He that's an Old Testament model, even pre-Old Testament, that Melchizedek, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. We believe that God still honors that, and so we're taking 10% of the resources that God has given us. I think if we use that ourselves, it's almost like eating our seed. Come springtime when you go to plant and you ate all of your seed over the course of the winter, and so now you don't have anything to plant in the ground. And so as individuals, we believe God's calling us to a minimum of a tithe, 10%, and then as a church, we want to honor that same thing, and we give into a ministry where really we get nothing back from. We simply are doing it to pour into Gospel Crusade. And specifically, Gerald has had an awful lot to do with Christian Fellowship. He's I know that Jim is considered the founding pastor, but I know that Gerald had an awful lot to do with the birth and the structure of this facility, this church. So. Yeah, Gerald has for years used those resources for different missions. Gerald Durstein basically does missions outreach. So I know that some of that money goes to Israel. Again, we don't determine where that goes, but some of it goes up to Strawberry Lake and some of it goes into other mission stuff that he's done, whether it's Haiti, whether it's Israel, wherever it's at. Other questions regarding the budget? Okay, we're going to move on. First thing I want to do is just, you have that report in front of you, so you can refer back to that if you need to. And if you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call or come on in the office and we'll sit down and talk about it. I want to introduce the elders and our deacons and just give a brief description of what they do. So on our elder board is Pastor Brian is considered one of the elders. Lonnie is an elder. Bruce is an elder, and so is Dewey. Dewayne, when was the last time I called you Dewayne? Wow. So currently, I am the president of the board. Lonnie is the secretary. Brian is the vice president, and I am also the treasurer. So it's just kind of the way it's worked out. And John Seberg is currently our only deacon. Yay. We're looking at reestablishing what a deacon board does and move that direction. We want to get that really moving this year in a way that we haven't. It's been kind of a, title thing. But we really want to see that grow. And the elders oversee the finances, but more specifically the spiritual direction of the church. When I have questions, I mean, part of their responsibility is to say, hey, Pastor, kind of think you're spiritually, you're taking us down a trail that we need to come back. That's their job. Their job is to ride herd on me and make sure that we're going a right direction. If we feel like we're going a wrong way, their job is to address spiritual issues in the congregation. If there's somebody who's struggling, you may get a call from one of the elders. That might happen. They also help with visitation. Now, as far as I'm concerned, visitation is open to any and everybody. We should all be doing visitation. If somebody's sick and you're part of a team with them, then, make yourself available and go and see them and visit them and pray for them. But that is part of the role of the elders. The deacons, traditionally in a church, are responsible for the physical things that are going on around the church. Obviously, with a building expansion, that doesn't happen so much. I mean, I could let you take it all over if you want, but that's kind of been, we have a general contractor for handling that. But as we grow and we have that, there's more facility here, and there's going to be many changes made on this side of the building, in the upcoming weeks and months. So we will be trying to establish what that deacon board actually looks like and how that functions. So that's something that we're working on. Our mission statement is, we are a family of believers in Jesus, loved and equipped by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to pray for and to serve each other and to be salt and light to the ends of the earth. That comes right out of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. It's a picture of the early church. I think we've done okay in doing that, but we need to continue to filter what we do through that and give us direction. I'm going to be, quite honest, with the load of what's going on in the building, there are some things that have been kind of slipping a little bit on my part. There's just been enough things going on, and so we need to really look at, when we get through the building process, that we get back on track with some other things going on in the church. Gratefully, we've begun a Wednesday night Bible study. That's been going very well. Pastor Brian's been carrying on the Tuesday morning lunch bunch, the work that's going on at Chapel on the Hill. Pastor Brian's got a load. We need to be praying for him all the time. He's got Chapel on the Hill. He's got Tuesday morning stuff here. Every Sunday night is Cowboy Church. Plus, he's helping with all kinds of stuff here. So he needs to be, we need to be continually lifting him up. He's got quite a load that he's carrying. And God bless him. I'm really grateful to have Pastor Brian. It's been a year and a half now? but who's counting? A year and a half, 3 days, 7 hours, and 42 minutes. But other than that, I'll tell you what, for me, it's been a great weight lifted off my shoulder to have somebody that I can just call and trust. And so God bless you. I just really appreciate you, man. I want you to know that. This past year, we celebrated our 50th anniversary, which is pretty amazing. Congregations I've talked to over and over again to go 50 years and only have 3 senior pastors. Pretty amazing deal. Pretty amazing deal. So we haven't been able to send a team over to Haiti. I kind of feel like Paul in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so. I've planned at least 3 trips to Haiti in the last year, and every time it falls apart. And every time it's fallen apart, I'm disappointed and want to be cursing at the devil. And I find out a week later that the day I landed, there was riots in Haiti, and they melted down Port-au-Prince. And after that, there was another thing. Every time I planned on going, and it came to a screeching halt every time, it's just been by God's design. So I want to get over there, and I want to be there and help what's going on. We support. Haiti is our primary outreach as far as overseas outreach. We've had opportunities. People have asked us to go a number of different places. The reason that we go to Haiti is we've got a 20-plus year relationship there with Pastor Leslie, and we know that when those resources hit the ground, they get used to either feed people or build something. I've been to his house. I can tell you, it goes where he will go without before his congregations will go without. So we feel like, as an elder board, as we've talked about it, if we choose to split up those resources, then what we're doing is we're going to hamstring one area. We'd rather pour those resources into one area and try and make a difference than try and spread it out over 3 or 4 different places and not be able to really accomplish much. So that's why we've spent those resources. Next week, we'll actually have pictures. I have got pictures late last night, early this morning, from the remodel that took place in Las Cajabas. literally, as I described this morning, that there was a ceiling that could have collapsed any time, and if it would have, it would have just been absolutely devastating. They had a church service going on. As a matter of fact, when I went in to look at the building during the church service, the children's ministry, little kids under their pastor would not at first allow me to go under the building. No, no, you stay out. And I'm like, nope, they're there, I'm going there. So I went in, and you could see what was going on. So we quite literally could have saved 60 kids' lives by doing that. And that's a church that we have been, one of the other things that we're doing, you see on the financial report, we send $100 a month to Pastor Leslie and $100 a month to Pastor Roosevelt. That's their salaries. We've also paid for the last 3 years, we've paid for Pastor Roosevelt's rent. We pay his rent for his house. For he and his wife and four kids, a rental on their apartment is $800 a year. So we've covered that for them. Think about that, $800 a year when they are just typically making a couple hundred dollars a year. So we've been able to bless them. And that's going to continue. I also wanted to share with you, Mission 218 Church had used our facility starting in last year. It was Experience Church. Experience Church closed. They restarted as Mission 218 with Pastor Mick Martin. And back at the beginning of the year, I contacted Pastor Mick because I noticed they had not been using the facility. Called him just to see how things are going. We've been in touch over the course of the year. They started out with roughly 40 people, and by the time late fall rolled around, they had a couple of scenarios that took place in the church, and they went from 40 people down to about 5. And so they decided that it was just time to close up the church. So they've closed up the church. Pastor Mick is currently working here in town. They are looking at the possibility of trying a relaunch. He really feels like Sunday mornings would be the ticket, so they are possibly looking at relaunching. But we did what we could do. We opened up the facility, and I think it was good at first. It's certainly built some relationships over the course of the last couple of months. I've seen a number of people coming on Sunday mornings that have been at one time have been part of Mission 218. So we'll just see how that goes. But that's where they're at. So currently they do not use our facility on Sunday nights. Any questions so far? Okay, just a couple more things here. Oh, go ahead. Oh. Yeah, and we do that two ways. We have a phone call side, so it's actually like the older prayer chains where one person calls the second person calls the third person calls the fourth person. The other way that we do that is via text. Now, I just want to explain that since we're talking about it. I don't remember, what is it, 143 characters or something that I can put together to try and get a prayer request out. So if you are looking at the prayer request and you see that I signed PT, I'm not trying to be cool, I don't have the extra 5 letters to put Pastor Tim on there, so it's PT. If you, please pray for, and if I skip the O, it's not that I was a bad speller, it's that I think you can get FR and figure out that it's 4 because I only got 143 without sending multiple texts. So right now that's the system that we use. We try to get it out. As often as I get praise reports, I try to put those back on there. Here's what I appreciate. When we started this, people clicked reply and they'd send praying, thanks, blah, blah, blah. When you do that, that goes back to 40-some people. I had people quitting because they're getting 30 responses to praying, 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 praying. Phones are blowing up. We believe if you're on that list and you say, we want to pray, I believe that you're praying. You don't need to tell me that you're praying. I trust that you're praying. And so we don't want to blow up people's phones trying to get back to everything. As often as we can send an update, we certainly will. If I send out a prayer request and you happen to know more about the situation than what's in there, please give me a call so I can update that. You can also go back and update. I don't know, does that one allow other people to go in and update? No, okay. So it has to come either through myself or through the office. But please give me a call and let me know that, hey, so-and-so is healed, so-and-so is this has happened, that's happened. Please let me know so that we can keep people updated. But I think it's a very, very important part of what we do. So prayer is also another component to that. It's been very good. For us as a church, I see a little bit of a change coming, maybe in the direction, or maybe it's a renewal of direction. I see us reaching out more into the community. I've shared this before. When I first came here, I believe that the Lord spoke to me specifically to cancel everything that we were doing except for Sunday mornings until God brought it out of the hearts of the people. As soon as it came out of the heart of the people, that's when we would restart it. Honestly, I tried this. The first couple of years I was here, I thought, well, let's do a prayer meeting. And the first night there were 30 people. And the next night we met, there were 18 people. And the next four nights it was me. And I felt like the Lord said to me, when it comes out of the heart of the people, it will succeed. Our men's group came because Lowell came to me and said, Pastor, we need to get together. We need to get a men's group together. And about a week later, Jim and I were having lunch someplace, Hokanson and I, and a guy came up and said, man, you guys got to get a men's group going. And so it came out of the heart of the people, and I believe that's why it's been successful. Celebrate Recovery. I started a Celebrate Recovery when I was in Hibbing. I worked with another individual, and we started that program. But you know what? God didn't give me the freedom to do it, and all of a sudden, Cleo comes along, and it's like, hey, we've been doing this. And Scott's like, you know, we could do this, and open the door, and it comes out of the heart of the people, and God does it. So for some reason, God's putting the heat on you all instead of me. So there you go. You want to see something developed, come to me with a plan, and let's have a discussion. But I think God is beginning to move that. The cancer support group, I know that Healing Strong is the name of it. It's not just about how do we, you know, nurture somebody through cancer. We're praying for people. We're asking people to change your diet, change your lifestyle. Forgive people. You don't know what kind of healing can come when we forgive people. I've had lots of conversations with Tina about how we're going to reach out to people. And that, folks, that's not just an inside the church activity. That's for inviting people into the men's group. We invite people into Celebrate Recovery. We're inviting people into that. That's a way that we are reaching out. What Pastor Brian's got going on Higher Ground, that's an outreach. We're going to have other opportunities. I don't know if you know this or not, but this past year on Thursday afternoons, we've opened up this facility for the homeschoolers in the area. They come in and they practice band. They didn't have a place to play, so they're in here practicing band, and I'm in my office here and for 3 months. And now, you know what? That's when the saints go marching in. It's come around to that. I mean, they're actually going to do a concert. When is a concert? Is it April? May. I think it's May. We'll get more information. They're going to do a Saturday night concert. Not only is it the homeschool band, but also the homeschool choir. And so they're going to do a concert here on a Saturday night, and you all are invited. And so we'll promote that as it comes closer. And what we would like to do, Pastor Brian and I have talked about this, what we'd like to do is we'd like to provide an ice cream social afterwards. That'll be our part, to be able to bless them for using our facility. Does that make sense? It does in God's economy. Somehow that makes sense. But they come in and they screw up my chairs every Thursday. And so every Friday I got to straighten up chairs. Gives me an opportunity to pray a blessing over those kids. So I want the buildings getting used on for different things. The Celebrate Recovery, it gets used. We're reaching out. So we will be, let's just do a quick, what do we want to see the building look like when we're all said and done? Okay, so on Friday we'll be putting carpeting, cleaning the building over here. Saturday we'll be putting in carpet. The following week that wall will come down. We should be able to be in this facility by Good Friday and Easter. We should be able to have this open to us. We won't have it necessarily do a grand opening yet. We'll do that later on in the summer. But my goal is immediately after we get that open, I would like to start changing what we look like on this side. If you've gone down to the bottom of the stairs, there's a new stairwell over here. Well, as soon as the plumbing gets inspected and up to snuff, we're going to eliminate our existing stairwell. Our existing stairwell will be a hallway. We'll have offices in this part of the building. My office will remain. Pastor Brian's office will be here in the nursery. Corey's office will be when you come in the door, that area. This wall, this doorway is going to go away because we'll have plenty of exits over here. This doorway is going to go away, so we'll have a space for a workstation. Maybe Celebrate Recovery could be using that. Sally would have an office back here. That's going to take some of us some volunteer hours to put together. So that doorway is going to go away. I would like to see us change the stage, take the stage from here, and put it on this wall back here. So we will be facing, the new sanctuary will face, or the sanctuary will face this direction. Change our seating a bit. We actually go from a 45-foot wide sanctuary to a 55-foot wide sanctuary. So we'll be able to change the direction of the sanctuary. This area here, then, will get rid of, John, we're going to have to talk, but we're going to get rid of part of this stage here, and maybe all of the stage, and we'll convert this area into a nursery, a crying room. Right here. Currently, we're sitting back over there with it, and that's fine, but I really want to be able to make that all offices, and so we'll be able to convert this into a nursery. We left the door on the back. We've talked about, you know, honestly, we've talked a couple of times about shooter safety and what happens if somebody comes in. Well, that is a way for our children to be protected. There'd be an emergency exit for them back there. So, again, putting the stage here, changing the direction. At the bottom of the stairs, then, right now, you go down the stairs and it opens up into what was a children's ministry. I'd like to put a small wall across there so that when you get to the bottom of the stairs, you got to take a 90 degree and that'll bring you out into the children's ministry. Currently, then the children would have the downstairs because we're going to move tables and have our fellowship area up here, which is going to be a little inconvenient at first because we'll have the fellowship area back here where the sanctuary is. What divides it? Are we going to put up a curtain? Are we going to put up... We got some ideas there. But hang with us. Give some feedback. It's going to be resource-based at some level, but we'll have to put a divider of some sort there. And we're just going to go with that. That all seems really awkward. It seems like, oh, that's kind of a bad design, bad flow. If the church continues to grow, and I believe we make an impact in this community, you know, the possibility of us adding a sanctuary would be out this direction. That's going to be down the road a ways because all resources or all finances, if you look at what you're talking about for building a sanctuary, right now those numbers are somewhere in the $5,000 to $6,000 a seat. So you're talking a couple of $1 million for sure to do that. We're just not ready to do that. We're not full enough, we're not busy enough, we'll have to go to two services. But if you look at changing the sanctuary this way, we can add chairs as we need them. When we have a fellowship meal, we can pull the chairs back and roll tables in, and we can easily go back and forth. It's going to be about having some courtesy when you walk in the door. If you come in late, don't say, hey, how's it going? Because everybody's going to hear that. So let's just be aware as we're doing that, that we're going to be, again, working at trying to get that all figured out. But that's going to be some of the changes that will take place. Not exactly sure how we're going to change the sound booth, move the sound booth. We're going to step into the 21st century with some of that as well and using iPads to do some work there. And I don't think any of it's going to have to be a huge expenditure, but it is all going to cost money and time as things go on. We have a couple of fundraiser ideas that we've kicked around and some things that we're going to do. One of the fundraiser ideas is early summer, midsummer, we'd like to do an auction. So if you have something that you say, and we don't want to do a junk auction. We've actually talked with the Bachman Auctioneers. They're willing to come in and do an auction, and it sounds like they will waive all or most of their fees to come in and do that for church. So that's amazing. But they'll come in and they'll actually do it. They'll help us make sure that we're getting decent stuff in and staging decent stuff. They'll also, you know, if we want to do a pie auction or something like that, they'll help us come in and do that as well. So we're working on that. We're also working on putting together a community breakfast fundraiser. When you talk about doing like the turkey dinner, which we've done in the past, that's all great, but there's a lot of expense to that. If we can charge the same amount for a breakfast and yet cut our expenses by 60%, you're going to be cooking a lot of bacon, brother. That's all I got to say. We're gonna have a lot. We're gonna need that Baconator. That's what we're gonna need. So, what we'd like to do an outreach to the community. We also have some conversations going regarding maybe doing a fundraiser with the local sporting, the soccer clubs or something like that, where we could help them and they could help us. We're having some of those conversations. So the goal is going to be in the next several months to be kind of, again, turning our focus out to the community, reaching out to the community, letting people know that we're here, that we're still alive, that we know and we love the community, and that we want to be part of that. And that brings me to my final point. Yay. Woohoo! Unspeakable joy. We will be able to get into the facility here ourselves and be using that. Later on in the summer, we will have a grand opening of some sort for our community. It has been on my heart for years to consider a name change. Okay, well, nobody fell over. That's good. When we see Christian Fellowship, I know that that has been an anchor in this community for a long time. When I see that, I have often thought Christian Fellowship is about a place for Christians to fellowship. I would like to see us looking at somehow stating something in a name that says, you know, we're more than that. Whether we're Hope, whether we're part of the community of churches, whether somehow I'd like to see us change that. The word for me, as I've thought over and over and over again about it, I thought about it literally for years. But the thing that continues to come back to me is I want to be a church where we're known for hope. I think our community needs hope more than ever before. That is not a set in stone thing. That's something I want to get in front of you as a group of people, as you're part of this body here. And so I want to open that up for discussion. And, you know, as we move on, we'll see where that goes. But if we're going to do a name change, I'd like to do that as we open up to the community later on in the summer. So, again, that's something that we can certainly have some discussion about. But that's just something that's been on my heart for quite a while, actually. Anything else? Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the life that we have in you. I pray for this body of people, God, as we move forward. It's not just about adding a building. It's about so much more than that. It's about us reaching out to this community. That building is simply a tool. It's just a tool. God, I pray that you'd help us see this community as you see this community. There are great, great members of the body of Christ, other churches in the area that do a great job promoting the kingdom, and we're all members together. God, you've called us to a certain portion of this community, a certain group. And so, Lord, it's our desire to reach that group, whatever that looks like and whatever that takes. So I pray that you just give us wisdom again as we move forward. Help us not to do anything hastily or just because. But God, I pray that you'd give us the wisdom to move forward where we need to. I thank you for each person here. The fact that they're here shows that they're invested and that they're part of this body. So I just want to say thanks again for that. And I ask you to bless them, bless their families. Pray for miracles to take place among us, God, literally, that you would you'd change hearts and lives. I ask you to bless this group of people and help us to reach out to this community in ways that only we can. And thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for meeting all of our needs according to your riches and glory. In the past year, it's all been quite a blessing. So I just want to say thank you so much for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great afternoon, and if there's something that we've talked about that you want to bring up separately, please let me know. Have a great day. The building is open. If you'd like to take a look, we can walk downstairs. I will tell you that they've been doing a lot of sheetrocking, so there's a lot of sheetrock dust in there, and we'll go from there. Thank you.